ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಸಪ್ತದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯ. ಸೊ ಯು ಸೀನ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ಫುಡ್. ಸೊ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದಟ್ ದ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ಫುಡ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಥಿಂಗ್, ದ ಫುಡ್ ವಿಚ್ ಈಸ್ ಡಿಸೈರಬಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಈ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ್ ಫುಡ್. But who are the sattvic people? How can we understand? Therefore it is said, in the 8th verse we saw, the 17th chapter, those food, ayuhu sattva, sattva bala, ayuhu sattva bala, arogya, sukapriti vivardhanaha, rasyaha, snigdhaha, sthiraha, hridyaha, aharaha, sattvikapriyaha. So these are the foods desirable for people of sattvic nature. Therefore, these are the foods which are sattvic food. So he says, those food which contributes for longest span of life, which increases the longevity, the food which contributes for good mental health, mental strength, the food which blesses with the physical stamina, physical health, the food which will bless a person with increased longevity and good mental strength and a physical stamina, good physical health, and also a food which makes the person feel comfort, which blesses the person the comfort and the joy, and the food that is delicious also. The food, healthy food, need not be tasteless. It can be delicious also. And it is not dry. But at the same time, it is very nutritious, nourishing. It is pleasing. And these are the foods. This is the type of food liked by, desired by people of sattvic nature. So, in verses 8, 9 and 10, Bhagavan Krishna discusses the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic foods, okay, respectively. See, we have our activities which are natural, instinctive activities, and these day-to-day activities, our regular day-to-day natural instinctive activities themselves can be converted into, uplifted to the level of spiritual disciplines. I said that. Therefore, how can do that? By regulating the manner, if we deliberately regulating the manner, with the manner of eating also, manner of any doing anything also, with the proper attitude, then we can convert any action into an act of a spiritual discipline. Even our regular discipline, prana, our regular breathing can be converted into a pranayama. It's what we already seen, already covered already in the previous verse, the previous class. I elaborated, discussed the quality of food, etc. Now we have to see the next verse. Katvam lalavanatyushna. In this 9th verse, Bhagavan discusses about the rajasic food. What is rajasic food? If you know, we can avoid it. That's all. Katvam lalavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasasyeshtaha dukkha shokamaya pradaha katvam lalavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha ahara rajasasyeshtaha dukkhashokamaya pradaha katvam la lavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinah katvam la lavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinah ahara rajasasyeshtaha dukkhashokamaya pradaha kattvam lalavanatyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinah ahara rajasasyeshtaha dukkhashokamaya pradaha. So here aharaha foods. What foods? Katu, amla, kattvamla, yansandhi. Katu, amla, lavana, atyushna. Katu, lavana, kattvamla. So, katu, amla, kattvamla. Lavana, atyushna, lavanatyushna. Kattvam, lavanatyushna. Tikshna, ruksha. Vidahinaha. Okay. Katu means bitter. The food which is very bitter. Very bitter food is what? Katu. Amla, the food which is very sour. Lavana, food which is very salty. Very salt. You need little salt. But too salty means what? It is rajas. But little salt is sattvic. But too much of salt, it is rajasic. Too salty, too sour, too bitter. So, katu, amla, lavana. The foods which are very bitter, sour, saltish. Tikshna. Tikshna means very hot. Tikshna means very hot. Chilli hot. Okay. Very hot. Tikshna. Ruksha. Pungent. Pungent. Vidahi. Vidahi means ruksha, pungent, dry. And vidahi means tikshna, ruksha, vidahi means burning. Okay. Which gives burning sense. Burning. Some people drink hot coffee, like as if it's going to burn the tongue also. First is I said chilly hot, then temperature hot also. Too hot. And dukkha, shoka, kamaya pradaha. Amaya pradaha. Dukkha, shoka, amaya. Dukkha, shoka, dukkha, shoka, amaya, pradaha. Amaya, shoka, amaya, pradaha. So these are the foods. So those foods which are very bitter, very sour, very saltish, very hot, very pungent, dry and burning. Those foods, what do they do? Pradaha. They give. Those foods give, what do they give? Dukkham, pain, shoka, sorrow, amayaha, disease. Dukkha, pain, shoka, sorrow or grief, amaya, disease. Pradaha means they give. These foods are the givers of pain, sorrow and disease. Means these foods cause pain, sorrow and disease. Dukkha shoka amaya pradaha. And these are the foods ishtaha. Ishtaha means these are the foods desired, liked by whom? Rajasasya. These are the food desired by the people of rajasic nature. These are the foods desired by the people of rajasic nature means these are the rajasic food. Okay, rajasa aharaha. is the literal meaning of the word. Katu amla lavana atyushna atyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha. So katu, bitter, amla, sour, lavana, saltish, atyushna means you can say temperature hot, atyushna very hot, tikshna pungent, ruksha dry, vidahinaha means then it's the chilly hot, burning, which burns your tongue also. Okay, burning. Ati ushna, very hot, temperature hot. Tikshna. Ushna, then tikshna. Pungent. Ruksha, dry. Vidahinaha, burning. Vidahinaha, aharaha. Katu, amla, lavana, atushna, tikshna, ruksha. Vidahinaha, aharaha. Burning, okay? The foods which are of this nature. Rajasasya ishtaha. These are the foods desirable, desired by a person of rajasic nature. And they definitely give what? Dukkha shoka amaya pradaha. They give, definitely, they cause pain, sorrow and disease. Okay. Now, what Bhagavan says here? Bhagavan beautifully has presented the defined the rajasic food desired by people of rajasic nature. This sweetness, a food which is sweet, is actually said to be a sattvic food. And other than sweet food, it doesn't mean, okay, don't worry, but we are diabetic, how can we eat? That's not the question here. Other than, we can eat little sweet also, but not too much. Anything overeaten becomes also tamasic. Now, other than the sweetness, all other foods should contribute for the waking up of the five taste buds. So we have five rasas. Pancha rasaha. Okay? Pancha rasas are there. So anything, if we are supposed to have pancha rasas, okay? There are six tastes. Supposed to have five rasas. We have five, we can taste five things. But if they anything exists is what? Salt, if you eat little salt is sattvic, but it's too much, is exists of salt becomes rajasic. If you can have little chili, we eat too spicy, it becomes rajasic. Too pungent, too bitter, too sour, very much salty, very salty, highly burning, okay? And then anything exists, the five rasas in exists, the five tastes in exists, is said to be rajasic. Ati. Add the word ati. Ati kattu. Ati amla. Ati lavana. See, Shastram does not say you should not eat other kattu lavana. We have to eat all the tastes. We have to eat bitter. We have to eat what is sour, what is salt. We need all of them. But anything ati. Ati katu, ati amla, ati lavana, ati ushna, ati tikshna, ati ruksha, vidahi, ati vidahinaha. Ati vidahi food. So anything, all the five rasas in excess becomes the rajasic food. They all must be in there's limitation. There must be a moderation. How sweet the food must be. How salty the food must be. How hot, spicy the food must be. There's a limit. If it is exists, then it becomes a rajasic food. And then, if you suppose some people eat Even ice cream is not sattvic, you know that. Ice cream also is not at all sattvic food. It is too cold. Anything too cold and too hot. Bhagavad Gita, it is not mentioned about ice cream. But still, anything ati, that prefix ati, anything in excess is rajasic. That's what we have to understand here. Sometimes we eat food and even it causes burns. It causes even sometimes the wounds in the tongue and all. Contributes for mouth ulcers because very hot food. Not only because temperature hot, it is even the chili hot also. So it is said, the mustard, we must use very little. Mustard is important to have the flavor. We use seasoning with the mustard seeds. But some people too much of mustard. See, mustard must be used only for only little. And the mustard, exists of mustard, it's actually said to be atyushnam. Mustard contributes for the burning. It says, the tender, delicate organs become eaten up by this burning food. That's why I can see some people in some silicon families, they also add, with the mustard seeds, they also put this fenugreek seeds. You know, little mustard is okay. Not too much of mustard. It will burn the tender, delicate inner organs. It will eat them. It causes wounds. Okay. Therefore, and then what happens? So specifically some foods like garlic, chili, mustard, even ginger also very good for health. But you must use enough. Anything overeaten, anything that there's a limit for everything, becomes a rajasic. In fact, specifically garlic and onion and all, very rajasic. Already they're very rajasic. Tamasic also. That is why anybody wants dementia naturally, I tell you, we don't want dementia. If a person eats garlic continuously eat 10 pieces of garlic for 10 days continuously, you see what happens. You'll develop a lot of memory loss. Okay? Garlic is good for health, but you must do only one small flake is okay for the whole family in rasam. But people eat too much of garlic paste. It's not all good. Especially, and people, for Vedanta, you need a sharp brain, sharp intellect. Too much of garlic is not all good. It will dull your intellect. In fact, it will contribute for memory loss also. If people eat too much of garlic continuously for a long time, it will contribute for memory loss. Anyway, so what I want to say, That's the nature of certain foods. I'm not talking about all the foods. So these, anything exists in excess, all tastes in excess contribute, become what? Rajasic food. And they will cause definitely dukkha shoka amaya pradaha. Because the food we eat also contribute for our mind, forming of the mind. Therefore, naturally says, dukkham here, in fact, implies the adverse effects. Dukkha means what? Not directly pain, means adverse effects. Suppose we eat chili, very hot. Then actually you start, you have running nose, and your eyes also will start having tears. And shoka means the shoka is a, the dukkham implies immediate effect a person has when you eat very hot and very hot food, etc. Immediately you start having running nose as you're eating and also start have tears in your eyes. But a shoka is a pain. pain that contributes for a long term. I mean, gradually such adjusting foods gradually will contribute for this the disease in these systems. I mean, the whole digestive system will get afflicted. The digestive system will get spoiled in long term. It is a shoka. This is the second adverse effect. The adverse effect of having adjusting food is what? Immediate adverse effect in terms of having tears, etc., is immediate adverse effect that is meant by the word dukkham. And the shokaha means the adverse effect a person will have in the long term. Or slowly the system gets spoiled. It will contribute for what then? Then it will give rise to having different diseases. It will cause many diseases. You know, we hear people telling us lots of gas problem, ulcer problem, and all those things. So it can, then some eyes become red and things that they say. So different diseases also. So dukkham, immediate adverse effect, stands for immediate adverse effect. Shoka stands for long-term adverse effects in terms of having a system spoiled. And it also causes the adverse effect in terms of causing diseases. Amayaha. But if people are very, very physically active, then if it is advantageous, because people who are highly active, very active, who are very dynamic, and such people who eat this food also can really work for longer hours. This is the, if people who eat this suggestive food can be highly physically active and they can work for long hours. Long hours. They won't get tired soon. This is one advantage of eating rajasic food. At the same time, eating rajasic food is highly, highly undesirable, unconducive for spiritual progress. Why? Because the people who eat rajasic food were very active, dynamic. It's okay. But those people cannot even sit even for 5-10 minutes without doing anything. The rajasic food, they drives them, they go mad. It is impossible for them to sit peacefully, quietly, to listen, to understand, to do anything, focus attention. Therefore, they may be able to focus in the activities that they must be physically, continuously, they must be active. So the physical restlessness is expression of what? Mental restlessness. The rajasic food is not at all conducive for spiritual progress. For a spiritual aspirant, rajasic food is not at all good. Okay. But a sattvic person can be adequately dynamic and physically active. At the same time, he can take care of his spiritual progress also. A person sattvic food habits can take care of his spiritual progress along with being physically also adequately active. He'll be moderate in everything. Whereas the person of rajasic food habits cannot sit at all. He'll go mad if he has to sit. He cannot do any listening. He cannot do any japa with the focused attention. Because of this, the effect of the food habit is such. The person cannot sit. But physically he can do aggressively work. He can work aggressively. Okay. Now what about tamasic food? The 10th verse Bhagavan talks about the rajasic food. Yata yamam gatarasam. Puti pariyushitam chayate uchishtamapi chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam yatayamam gatarasam Puti pariyushitam chayat ucchishtamapi chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam yatayamam gatarasam puti pariyushitam chayat ucchishtamapi chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam yatayamangatarasam poti pariyushitam chayat ucchishtamapi chamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Okay, now what is the food which is, what are the foods which are desired, liked by people of tamasic nature? That is said in this 10th verse. He says, tamasapriyam bhojanam. Tamasapriyam bhojanam means the food which is desired by tamasic, people of tamasic nature. What is it? Yatayamam. The food, uncooked food, improperly cooked food, undercooked food, and which is kept overnight. The overnight, okay, the food which is kept overnight. You cook the previous, see, before sunset if you cook the food, and you keep the food until the next day sunrise, it becomes yatayamam. So anything if you cook after sunrise, and you must finish it before sunset, at least before the previous evening. The overnight, you cook the food after sunrise and you keep it until the next sunrise, it becomes yatayamam. And not only that, improperly cooked, undercooked, uncooked. Of course, you're eating salad, that's a different thing. But this is also, that is also is what? Tamasic only. Then gatarasam. Gatarasam means the food which is devoid of nutrients. Gatarasam. We overcook it sometimes, and even all the nutrients die also, get killed. So the food which doesn't have any nourishment, the nutrientless, nourishment lacking food is called gatarasam, gatarasaha, aharaha. Here bhojanam we say, gatarasam bhojanam, yatayamam bhojanam, gatarasam bhojanam. The food, the word bhojanam literally means eating. But here we take it as food. Bhojanam, the food which is cooked, which is kept overnight, and which is improperly cooked, uncooked or undercooked. Gatarasam, which doesn't have any nourishment. Puti means the food which is putrid, having foul smell. Puti means the food which is putrid. And pariyushitam means spoiled, stale food. So we don't want to throw sometimes. No, we eat it. No, pariyushitam is a stale food, spoiled food. Uchishtam means what? Leftover food. See, uchishtam, what I'm saying, if you cooked food, you have leftover, and the people eat in a leaf or a plate, and after they eaten, they leave the food some food. And the leftover food some people eat. That's not good. However dear you are to other husband or wife, whoever it is, those days, after husband eats the same leaf, a wife can still eat. That is not the food. The leaf, the person, woman can use. But eating the leftover food, uchishta means leftover food, is also tamasic food. Amedhyam. Amedhya means non-offerable food. Non-offerable food is what? Impure food. Amedhyam, non-offerable, impure food. All these food is what? Tamasapriyam bhojanam. Amedhyam means non-offerable, impure food. Uchishtam, leftover food. Paryushitam, stale, spoiled food. Puti means putrid with foul smell, etc. And gatarasam, the food which do not have any nourishments. Nourishment, nutrient, lacking food. And food which is uncooked, undercooked, and kept overnight. So all these, what Bhagavan says in this 10th verse, the food which is kept overnight, which is improper, which is not properly cooked, uncooked or undercooked, which is devoid of, which doesn't have nourishments or nutrients, which is putrid, stale, spoiled, a leftover, and which is unofferable, impure food, is the food liked by people of tamasic nature. So in this 10th verse, Bhagavan beautifully defines what is tamasic food. See, in Vedic tradition, it's always said, food must be cooked. Uncooked food is not accepted at all in Vedic tradition. The food must be cooked and eaten. See, animals can eat. See, cows can go and graze. Grass is there for them. Cows and goats, etc. But we can't digest. Our system is not good, made for that. So an elephant can go just pull one coconut tree and then eat it. He can eat coconut leaves. We cannot do that. That is why the system is different. Our system is different. So Vedic tradition says that food must be cooked. Cooking is an important yajna. Cooking is also yajna like eating. You know that. It's a worship. Because the food must have the touch of the original source of heat in terms of fire. The food must have the touch of the fire. Because association, the touch of the Agni Devata is very important in tradition. Why? Because Agnihi, the fire element, is not simply seen as a fire element, but it, in Vedic tradition, Agni Devata, Agni is revered as a Devata, Agni Devata. And Agni Devata, in fact, Agni Devata contributes for the taste also. So when the food is cooked in the fire, cooked with the help of the fire, then what happens? All the germs, minute germs, etc., get killed. So the Agni, the heat of the fire, definitely remove all the unwanted beings, unwanted things from the food. Even the Veda Shastram says water, milk, etc. should be boiled. No, we never take uncooked milk. Milk also must be boiled. So water we drink. Generally, Shastram says, and the water also must be boiled for certain things. So, why food must be cooked? Because cooking in fire, the heat of the fire definitely will remove the toxins, it seems. Cooking will remove the toxins. So cooking removes the unwanted germs, etc. Cooking also removes the physical toxins. And not only the toxins which are not good for physical health, the toxins which are not good for spiritual well-being also. The toxins which are obstructive of the spiritual well-being and physical well-being are removed by the cooking. So, really speaking, Vedic Dharma does not recommend eating anything raw. So, cooking is said to be very important. We think, okay, nutrients will get die, will perish all that. Maybe what all salads you get abroad, that's not available. Maybe that was not available in India, I don't know. Anyway, cooking is very important. Because cooking also is equally revered yajna like eating. So all this, yata yamam, the food, uncooked food, also what? Any uncooked food is a tamasic food. And suppose if the food is uncooked or undercooked, and what about the cooked, overcooked food? The overcooked food, all the nutrients die in the overcooked food. It becomes what? Gatarasam. It will lack the nourishment. Because the food is overcooked, all the nourishment, nutrients get destroyed, evaporated. The word is Gatarasam, is a tamasic food. And Pootihi is a Strilinga Shabda. Pootihi implies, putrid means having foul smell. Sometimes the yogurt and all very old. You know, some food gives very, very foul smell. That food is actually tamasic food. Paryushitam. Paryushitam also is what? The food is cooked and kept overnight and it becomes stale food. Yatayam also I said overnight food. Paryushitam means why? Not only overnight. Sometimes any food, if it is not, it's not well maintained, well kept, that food becomes what? It becomes spoiled. The stale. So if the food is kept overnight, especially when the sun, after the sunset, the food which is kept between sunset and sunrise becomes also what? Paryushitam, stale food. It's also tamasic food. We should always remember, and not amedhyam. Amedhyam means what? Medhyam means a food which is offered to Bhagavan. Any food which is cooked freshly, that food immediately we don't eat. We first offer the food to Bhagavan. Offer the food to Bhagavan and then take it as prasadam, then we must eat. That food, offered food, it becomes medhyam. It becomes a pure food. The food is not offered to Bhagavan. If you don't sanctify the food by chanting shlokas or mantras, you don't offer the food to Bhagavan, that food becomes amedhya, means impure food. Impure food. Always before eating, the food must be offered to Bhagavan. It must be offerable to Bhagavan also. So the food must be clean, it must be sanctified, with mantra chanting, it must be offered to Bhagavan, then eat. Even if you serve it on the plate, even on the table, sitting in the table also, still, even when you sit for eating, before you eat, that's what they say, they do parisesanam, and then they eat the food. That is, then it becomes medhyam, becomes a pure food. Therefore, then uchishtam means eating any leftover food from anybody else's plate. And even if you eat and you keep it closed for some time, again eating afterwards also is what? Tamasic food. When you eat only, take only what you can eat. Don't take more than what you can eat. Then don't leave it for some time. Again eating it afterwards. And eating the leftover food is also what? So uchishtam is tamasic food. And amedhyam, the food which can be offered to Bhagavan, the food which can be taken as prasadam is a medhyam. The food which cannot be offered, which is not offered to Bhagavan, amedhyam is what? It is impure food because it is not accepted as a prasada. Therefore, it is not pure enough. The food which is offered to Bhagavan alone becomes then, it must be offerable food, then it must be offered to Bhagavan, then it is a sacred, clean, pure food. The pure food is sattvic, impure food is what? Tamasic food. Therefore, if a person wants to convert once as a spiritual aspirant, see, you don't need to deprive yourself for the enjoyment of any pleasures. If you are a person of purusharth nischaya, if your moksha is your ultimate goal, if you are committed to the pursuit of jnanam, doesn't matter whether when jnanam is going to happen. But once you are clear that what you want is jnanam, then without depriving yourself of the enjoyment of any pleasures, you can enjoy all pleasures, but all through righteous means. And one must really convert one's, first of all, home into a center of spirituality. Okay? A home itself must become a temple. How to convert the home into a temple? Not by having big deities and not big pictures, not by having a lot of flowers, etc. No. In order to convert one's home itself into a religious spiritual center, all that you need is start with the food. Okay? These are all inevitable. One must take care of this. But once the food is changed, means the way of life changes. And then way of life means one must go to bed early, one must rise early, then one must be doing things as planned. And definitely one must withdraw attention also from unwanted things. One must change one's food habits also. This is how we all listen but do not follow. It is not because people come and tell, you know, it's very nice to listen but it's not practical for us to follow. But definitely food we can start changing. Changing one's food habits. So Bhagavan says, so if a person who lives a life, Vedic way of life, enjoined by the Veda Shastra, the food habits are very, very important. So these are the food which are desired by tamasic people. So Bhagavan says, these are the three types of food which he discussed in eighth, discussed in these three verses, 8th, 9th and 10th verses. And here, Shankara Bhagavad Pada, he mentioned his important point. If a person wants to change his whole, I want to change my vidhi, people say, if a person wants to change one's character, one must definitely change many things. The changing of the character is dependent on changing many things. And changing many things is inclusive of change in one's food habits. Okay? Whoever wants to change their one's character must take care of the change of many things, inclusive, which includes the change in food habits. It is not simply changing the food alone will not change everything. But one of the things which have to be changed to change one's character is the food habits also. Without changing the food habits, changing other things also will not contribute for their change in character, for changing one's character. At the same time, changing food alone will not contribute for the changing of one's character. So changing of character presupposes changing of many things in one's life, including one's food habits, changing one's food habits. The Shankara Bhagavad Pada mentions this. So with this three types of the subject matter of discussion on three types of food is over. Now Bhagavan enters into the new topic of yajna, worship. Even though already Bhagavan mentioned about, and when he discussed the Shraddha, he always said, mentioned about the worship. But here now yajna, three types of yajna. This is sattvikaha yajna, rajasaha yajna, and tamasaha yajna. What are they? Let us read in these verses. Aphalakankshibhar yajnah, vidhidrishtoya yijyate, aphalakankshibhar drishtaha. See, I was wondering, many people come to this in Pooja Swamiji's talks, when we used to have once in a while public talks in the city. Okay? Now, Pooja Swamiji was coming and giving lectures. I can see the whole big crowd, 3,000, 4,000 people used to come and sit and listen to these talks. They listen for 1 week, and 1 week it will happen, maximum 1 week or 10 days, 5 days it will happen. So come and listen, big people come and so many cars, there won't be place to park, and people come and listen. But I know how many people go back and change their food habits in the houses. They continue to eat what they eat. They continue to live the way they live. Simply it becomes the fun. That is why one must have purushartha nischaya really to change. At least they're listening. Better not, listening is better than not listening. But how much it really goes and really changes the person. Isn't it? Sali told last week very bitter fact that food must be vegetarian. And then I don't want to talk anything about it. Now we have talked about vegetarian food also, how it must be, we have understood. Now Bhagavan is going to discuss about this yajnas. Aphalakankshibhar yajna, vidhidrishtoya yijyate, yashtavyameveti manaha, samadhaya sa sattvikah, yashtavyameveti manas, samadhaya sa sattvikah, yashtavyameveti manas, samadhaya sa sattvikah. So in the 11th verse, in 17th chapter, Bhagavan talks about the sattvikaha yajnaha. Saha sattvikaha yajnaha. What is sattvika yajna? Yaha yijyate. Yijyate means is performed. Yaha yajnaha yijyate. That yajna which is performed. That ritual which is performed. How it is performed? Manaha samadhaya. Manaha samadhaya means placing the mind totally, placing the mind totally in the ritual, performance of ritual. Placing the mind totally in the performance of the ritual. Manaha samadhaya. So placing the mind totally in the performance of ritual, when ritual is performed, it becomes a sattvikaha yajnaha. Which means a ritual which is performed wholeheartedly. Manaha samadhaya, manas samadhaya yaha yajnaha yajyate, saha yajnaha sattvikaha. The ritual performed having placed the mind totally, the ritual performed wholeheartedly is sattvikaha yajnaha. See, any puja you do, if your mind is totally in the puja, it is sattvika yajna, sattvika puja. See, in puja, in prayer, in performance of a ritual, mind must be totally placed there. Manas samadhaya. Then, vidhisrishtaha. It is not only, it is performed wholeheartedly. Vidhidrishtaha. Vidhidrishtaha. Vidhi drishta means what? Vidhi means injunction, rule. And drishta means the ritual performed, keeping in one's mind the injunctions of the Shastram, the rules, the protocols of the Shastra. Okay? Vidhitrishtha means perform, ritual performed, keeping in one's mind the injunctions, scriptural injunctions. Which means what? Keeping in mind one's mind, the scriptural injunction means what? Performing the ritual in conformity with the Vedic injunctions. Not, you can't perform whatever you want to do. Some people do perform rituals and they want to whatever they want to do. No. So performance of ritual must be in conformity with the Vedic, the Shastra's injunctions. It must be performed wholeheartedly. It must be in keeping with the scriptural teaching. Scriptural instructions. And apalakankshibhi. So this ritual is performed wholeheartedly. Ritual is performed in conformity with the rules laid out by the Shastram. Then it is performed also by which people? They perform. Aphala kankshibhi. Kankshi means that one who is desirous is called kankshi. Kankshate means desires. Kankshi is the desirer, one who is desirous. And phala kankshi means one who is desirous of the, one who is performed for the sake of the result is called palakankshi. But this person performs the ritual. Of course, he is desirous of the result, but his main interest is in antahkarana shuddhi and antahkarana naishchalyam. The person who performs the ritual, even though he has a desire for the result, but his main desire is for the mental preparation required for the jnanam. And such a ritual becomes what? Such a person is called apalakankshi. The ritual performed by a person whose focus is more on the mental preparation, not on the result. The person who performs the ritual with his attention placed more on the mental preparation required for jnanam than on the result of the ritual. It's called apalakankshi. So apalakankshi bihi, the ritual performed by the people whose focus is more on the mental preparation than on the results of actions, results of the ritual, and which is performed according to the Vedic instructions, and the ritual is performed wholeheartedly, and that ritual also, yashtavyam iti, and which is performed with the resolve, which is performed with the resolve that it must be performed. I must do it. With this resolve, if a person performs the ritual, then that ritual becomes what? Satvikaha yajnaha. Beautiful, okay? The four things are given. Apalakankshibhi yaha yajnaha ijyate. The ritual which is performed by people whose focus is more on mental preparation than on the results of the ritual. The ritual which is performed in conformity with the Vedic instructions. Vididrishtaha. The ritual which is performed wholeheartedly. Manasamadhaya. And the ritual which is performed with the resolve that it must be performed. Such a ritual is known as Satvikaha Yajnaha, Satvik ritual. Okay. So Satvika Yajnaha is that which is performed with total attention, the wholeheartedly, and as per the instructions of the Veda, and performed by those whose focus is more on mental preparation than on the results. And it is performed with the resolve that it must be performed. Okay. Now, I mean, following these, all these three verses, 11th, 12th, and 13th, in these three verses, Bhagavan is defining three types of yajna. See, Veda Shastram says how you can convert all your activities also into yajna. Yajna means worship. See, all of us are, once you wake up from bed in the morning, until you fall asleep, all of us, okay, all of us from morning, from the time we wake up from sleep, until we fall asleep, we are choicelessly engaged in so many activities. Of course, we're physically active, we are orally active, when verbally active, we're mentally active. We have too many physical, mental, oral activities. And if people are living in the city and the lifestyle is different, and the more responsibilities, more activities, more commitments. And as spiritual aspirant, the person who has purusharthanischeha, who is committed to the pursuit of jnanam, who knows the value of knowledge, as a spiritual aspirant, one must perform certain activities. And the spiritual aspirant is supposed to perform those activities specifically for one's emotional maturity, for one's inner spiritual progress. See, in order to take care of the physical well-being, for nourishing the physical body, we need to perform many activities. Okay, to maintain the physical body, for physical nourishment, we have to perform many activities. In fact, the whole education, right from the childhood until to we become, we attain a certain degree of adulthood, and we whole life is spent mainly for what? To take care of ones, not only for spiritual nourishment, also for our emotional maturity. In fact, people think right from the very young age, the whole life we are taking care of our physical nourishment. We are taking care of our, in fact, we must take care of our emotional nourishment also. But people think only of taking care of the physical nourishment. People do not think of taking care of our emotional nourishment, inner maturity. Physical growth we take care. We take care of the physical growth, but we ignore our mental maturity, emotional maturity, inner growth. In fact, people, we do not even know the when we are sent to schools from childhood, the education itself is for, education is ultimately for our emotional maturity, for our mental preparation, for our inner progress, inner maturity. Because the food we eat takes care of our physical growth, physical nourishment. Education is mainly for our inner growth. Physical growth, external growth. Mental growth, inner growth is different. For that, we have our education. And the main purpose of, according to Veda Shastram, main purpose of education is taking care of one's inner growth. Of course, we are interested in getting a job. We have to get a job. We have to earn money. We have to live our lives. No doubt. But still, the main purpose of education is not simply getting a good job and earning money. Even though getting a job and earning money is very, very important, still the education must also contribute for our inner growth. So whatever we do for our material well-being, what is required for our physical nourishment and other requirements we have for living this life, what do we need to do? Of course, Vedashastram is very supportive of our activities that we need to perform to take care of our physical nourishment and our other material requirements. But Vedashastram also is very consciously reminding us that whatever activities we do must also contribute for our inner maturity. It must contribute for ultimately accomplishing the spiritual vision. For that, we must become mentally, we must become qualified with the four things. We must have sadhana chatushtya sampattihi. Here what Shastram says. So, at least one must spare little time exclusively to take care of one's emotional maturity, inner growth also. So whatever we do, amidst all our activities, we must spare at least little time to do things which contribute for our inner maturity. That's what Shastram says. Shastram discusses Panchamahayajnas. It is in the karma, the chapter on karma is the third chapter. Bhagavan discusses Panchamahayajnas. And the performing Panchamahayajnas is actually known as Nishkama Karmani. And see, the following Panchamahayajnas as Nishkama Karma definitely will not help us accumulate wealth, will not help us have any material prosperity. But it will not contribute for any of, it will not really help at all to have material prosperity. But definitely it will contribute for my emotional well-being, inner maturity. Therefore, Shastram prescribes certain karmas. And one of the Panchamahayajnas that Shastram prescribes, one must follow to take care of one's emotional maturity is the Panchamahayajnas. Of the Panchamahayajnas, one of the yajnas is called what? Deva Yajna. One of the Panchamahayajnas is Deva Yajna. And Deva Yajna is what? Worshipping Bhagavan every day. Beginning one's day early in the morning, as soon as a person wakes up from sleep, worshipping Bhagavan is Deva Yajna. So before whatever I need to do every day, as soon as I wake up from sleep, before I begin my day-to-day activities to earn my livelihood, I offer my thanks, express my thanks to gratitude to Bhagavan. So I must perform, I must worship. It's called Deva Yajna. Okay. And to perform the Deva Yajna is for my spiritual progress. And therefore, I must also choose. I can't do whenever I have time. So first thing what I must do is worshipping Bhagavan in the morning. But otherwise said to be Deva Yajna. And for that, the time, appropriate time for worshipping Bhagavan early in the morning, as soon as they wake up, is morning time only. So morning time is the Satvikaha Kalaha, Satvik time also. Just above, as soon as the sun rises, it's a very pleasant time. And as the sun, as the day goes, the heat of the sun also increases. I'm not talking about London or other European countries. Here the problem in India, as the day, Sri Lanka, India, everywhere, all in Eastern countries, what happens, as the day goes, the sun becomes much brighter, much hotter also. And naturally, the physical body also becomes more active. Naturally, it has to be active. So it becomes, there's some more rajasic. Predominantly, a person will be all people, predominantly sattvic in the mornings, rajasic in the daytime, and tamasic in the evenings. All people generally. Therefore, the daytime is ideal time for other activities, rajasakala. Morning time is sattvika kala, good for worship. And evening time, of course, again, evening time is a pleasant time, so ideal for worship. Again, then to stop all activities to rest, night time is ideal. This is what we are doing, we know that already. So once the sun sets also, then after sunset, there's no sattva, there's no rajas possible. There's only tamas. Tamoguna takes over after the setting of the sun. Therefore, our shastram always prescribes all the spiritual disciplines to be practiced in the morning mostly. And this practice of religious disciplines, mainly for mental preparation, mainly for emotional maturity, inner growth, are all prescribed to be done, performed in the morning only. Now Bhagavan says, the person's worship must be the yajna. One of the Panchamaha yajna is Deva yajna. And Deva yajna also must be what? Must be, Sattvika yajna. That contributes for one's spiritual progress. So he says, yajna vididrishtaha, vididrishtaha yajna. Yajna which is in conformity with the rules and regulations or injunctions, instructions of the shastram, is a sattvikaha yajna. And time is also what? If we do any chanting, recitation, mantra chanting, shloka chanting, or prayers, do japa, the puja, even if we want to go to temple, all that if we do it in the morning, it all becomes sattvika yajna. In fact, this is not something to be taught newly. This is what our ancestors, our elders at home, our parents and grandparents, we have noticed how they were living. We've been following this already. But now we changed. So we had to learn now what Bhagavad Gita says. Without reading Bhagavad Gita also, they were following already our ancestors. I mean, our grandparents and parents, they were following this. So vididrishta. So even we say for it is good for physical health if people... Even Ayurveda, any medication they say, you must take an empty stomach at 6 a.m. Before 1 hour, 2 hours before you take your morning food, you must take all the kashayams. And people suggest also one must do on physical exercises before you eat your food in the morning. It's good for physical health. So puja also must be done in the morning in keeping with the shastra instructions. Vididrishta. Then apalakankshihi kankshibihi. Of course, the person who has purusharthanischaya, naturally being committed to the pursuit of jnana, he knows he must become mentally prepared. So whatever yajnas, whatever pujas, whatever he performs everything, always praying for the mental preparation, mental maturity required for this jnana. But of course, he does expect the results, but still his focus is more on his mental preparation required for the jnanam. That yajna becomes what? Sattvikaha yajna. When a person performs, he performs manaha samadhaya, without any distraction, without any confusions, the person focuses. Whether person performs the puja, or whether he practices japa, or whether he practices meditation, any related worship related action activity he does everything with a focused attention. And it must be done by me. I should not leave it. Yashtavyam yeva. It must be with the resolve. I must do it. With the resolve, when a person does it, with the focus attention, it becomes a sattvikaha yajnaha. In fact, living a life of karma yoga itself is a sattvika yajna. Okay? It's not simply performing a ritual alone. Living a life of karma yoga is a living a life of sattvika yajna. Why? Because from the karma yogi, is always focused. He has a purushartha nischaya. His ultimate goal is moksha. He is committed to the pursuit of jnanam. He knows he must go through the discipline of shravanam, mananam, dhyasanam. But he still knows he is not mentally pure enough. He is not mentally steady enough. Therefore, his focus is on mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam. Therefore, he lives strictly a life governed by dharma. And he always is prayerful to Bhagavan, seeking Bhagavan's grace for blessing him with the strength to be able to live a life of dharma. And he is very, very, very highly thankful to Bhagavan for all that he is blessed with. And he has a Ishwar Arpana Buddhi in all his activities, not only worship, all his activities he performs with an attitude of offering to Bhagavan. Because everything he performs ultimately for mental preparation. And whatever comes in life, he knows it is Bhagavan in the form of law, ordinance, results of actions. He receives all desirable, undesirable results, situations with the sameness of my mind without elation and dejection as Bhagavan's prasada, and accept knowing the limitations that they all come and go. There's no complaints about any situations. Whatever comes in life is a prasada. He accepts them with sameness of mind, without elation and dejection. That's a karma yogi. Is a person of sattvika yajna. Karma yoga itself is otherwise known as sattvika yajna. Okay? Okay. I'm going to stop the class now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.